It's so essential that the community and the board and the staff begin to see what Dr. Gutierrez's leadership is going to be about. But it's not truly about me. It's about ensuring that we're mapping out or creating a blueprint for the future.
Hello, folks. Zach Vanderveen here with Aubrey. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer and one of the co-founders, and having lots of fun conversations with Texas superintendents down here at TASA TASB. And I'm really excited to be talking to Dr. Matthew Gutierrez, who I'm going to have himself introduce. But we're going to have a fun conversation. We were just kind of laughing a little bit. We're middle school people, whether it's teachers or principals. That's our background. So we might get a little goofy sometimes. But you know, hey, this is good. So Matthew, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, middle school, range of the strange, as I always refer to middle school, but I loved it. Matthew Gutierrez. I am currently the Deputy Superintendent for Learning and Innovation with Leander ISD, which is a suburb of Austin, serves about 43,000 students in 49 schools. I am currently transitioning to Del Valle ISD, which is in Southeast Austin. I was named lone finalist of that school district just a few days ago, and I've already started as a consultant until the 21-day waiting period is up. Del Valle is a fast-growing school district on the southeast side of Austin, as I mentioned. Just under 12,000 students, fast growth, a lot of commercial and residential that are going in. So it's going to be an amazing opportunity to build on the existing sense of pride. And this will be my second superintendency. Prior to being in Leander ISD, I was the superintendent of Seguin ISD. Just outside of San Antonio, a district with about 7,500 students across 13 schools.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so with that background, I'm just curious, like, if another superintendent was watching right now, like, or just folks interested. I mean, we were just at the Talis EIE conference where it's about coaching and mentoring and growing Texas administrators, Latino administrators. Any advice you would give or observations about that transition from one superintendency to another, or deputy superintendent to another, just things that you've noticed, because you've done this now, so that they're like, oh, I would definitely tell someone about this.
I think when you consider a transition as an executive leader, whether you're a superintendent or a deputy superintendent, immediately you've got to start thinking of succession planning and making sure that you're investing in building that leadership capacity so that when that time comes, what you want is to have someone who's ready, able, and willing to continue the work and continue the work of that strategic plan that is in place. So current situation in Leander, I feel like I have been able to build, grow, and develop a really strong team of area superintendents that I work with. And I also have a very strong team of assistant superintendents in the curriculum side, newer to my scope of work because I started in just school leadership. But what I feel very confident is going to happen, whether or not they appoint another deputy, is that the work that we have been investing in for the past year, specifically with professional learning communities and the relaunch of that, with the paint duns that are outlined from our strategic plan, leadership, instructional development for our campus leaders, the alignment of professional learning from the teacher level to the instructional coach level, AP level, principal level, cabinet level. We have alignment and how we roll out professional learning on a professional learning day. And it starts at the top with cabinet. I feel confident that that is going to continue regardless of whoever goes in. And so that allows me, although it is very difficult to leave a team that I absolutely love and respect, I have a sense of comfort knowing that they're going to continue that work that we started a year ago. And going into Del Valle ISD, what's going to be important is to build a strong team. I'm inheriting some team members. I'm going to get to hire several executive leaders. So I've got to start identifying talent and people who are going to help us as we develop a strategic plan for Del Valle ISD, which is essential. But what I'm focused on right now and had the opportunity to do in my first superintendency was develop a very comprehensive entry plan. And I think all too often superintendents can make the mistake of not having an entry plan or not having one that really entails the work that needs to happen during that first 90 or 100 days. I truly believe that a superintendent's success in the long term is contingent upon what that strategic plan entails. I developed a very comprehensive entry plan when I came into Seguin that several said, it's overly ambitious, there's no way you can do it. And I said, I have no choice. I'm going to hold myself accountable. We're going to develop a website. The community is going to get to track my progress alongside me. And I did it. But what I knew was I was going to develop a very strong support system and build a strong sense of trust that people were going to have faith in the work that we were doing. Because I don't believe in buy-in.
Yeah.
Because you have options to opt out. And so because of that strategic plan that focused heavily on connections and relationships, when there were rough times, the community and the staff carried me through, or the district through.
Yeah.
And so as I transition into my second superintendency, I've developed a very comprehensive, intense strategic plan. It looks very different than the one I did in 2017, but I am working very closely with my communications chief to do what I did in Seguin and formalize that plan. We are then going to establish benchmarks. We're going to make it public, and we are going to report on it at the conclusion in a state of the district at the conclusion of that 100 days, because it's so essential that the community and the board and the staff begin to see what Dr. Gutierrez's leadership is going to be about. But it's not truly about me. It's about ensuring that we're mapping out or creating a blueprint for the future.
So a few questions on this. I want to riff off. I love this. So first question I have for you is the process in which you do buy-in or get that community for that strategic plan. I'm getting a little bit into the nuts and bolts here. So it's like, you're putting it together and then you're opening it up to people to do reviews on, thumbs up, thumbs down, come meet with you. How does that work?
So the entry plan for a superintendent is mostly developed by you as you're learning the district. And then when you get in, you get feedback from your board members and people on your cabinet. It's the work of that first 90 to 100 days that you start to gather a lot of mostly qualitative data.
Yep.
To really help drive the direction for the development of that strategic plan after the entry plan, which will involve task forces, many stakeholder groups, forums, surveys, to really get engagement from the entire community, including students. So before that work starts, it's truly getting a good understanding of what the hopes and dreams are from students, from parents, from staff, from board members, from business leaders. And so that's what I'm heavily going to be focused on when I start officially on October the 14th.
That's great. That's awesome. So doing the homework first, essentially, you're like really, really studying up hard so that you can be informed when you then move to that next level of, okay, now let's start talking about what will the strategic plan be? Who do we involve, stakeholders, et cetera. I'm curious, so we work with a lot of districts in strategic plans. Hutto is one that we're very much working with, and A-Leaf, et cetera, Seguin as well, So, which is great. We see the different elements of a strategic plan. One of the things I'm always curious about, and hear your perspective, is the labor that might be involved in getting the metrics or the data to show growth, or hopefully not, lack of growth, in the particular high-level goal objectives. Any insights to that for you? Has it been fairly easy in the past? Has it been challenging?
It's challenging because it takes a lot of effort to just establish goals.
It does.
And then you establish strategic actions, and then you create benchmarks. Usually annual benchmarks. Mm-hmm. Which involves a lot of data gathering, whether it's universal screeners, state accountability, it's college career readiness, it's attendance rates, it's engagement, family engagement, student engagement. So there's a lot of data. And sometimes districts aren't equipped to be able to keep up with it. And oftentimes you see strategic plans kind of fall to the wayside. What was important for us in Seguin and what will be important in Del Valle is that we establish those metrics for the strategic plan, and that we are providing quarterly reports to the board.
Okay.
So that they are in the loop of how we are monitoring and tracking progress. How are we then responding? One of the things that I also did is we held step back meetings in Seguin where all owners of a specific strategic action came together on a Zoom because it was a large number of people. And we talked about our progress, what were the barriers as a superintendent and our deputy superintendent. We would then provide resources and support when we were not moving towards meeting a specific goal that was outlined. And so it takes a lot of time, a lot of collaboration. And what I've seen all too often in some districts I've been a part of is that that time isn't built in.
Yeah.
And we're not being transparent.
Yeah.
We're not presenting our progress to the Board of Trustees in a public meeting. We sometimes you don't have the tools to be able to track the data. And I think that's what a lot of districts struggle with.
Yep.
But I've made a commitment to Del Valle to help create that blueprint for us and establish that vision so that all campuses, we're all moving in the same direction.
Yeah. Yeah. So critical. Yeah. As we're kind of wrapping this, this podcast up, I always like to kind of close and ask the question, all right, you know, education is an interesting beast. It attracts folks for a variety of reasons. So I like to pose the nostalgia question.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is like, just something that really got you passionate about the profession, whether it's an object, a kid, an experience, et cetera. So I'd just like to close with that and just hear, and I might riff off of it a little bit just to hear it is, but what is that?
Immediately, what comes to mind is my childhood and my brothers and my siblings. Grew up in a big family, a lot of my brothers, my siblings, and then cousins, huge family, a lot of 30 grandchildren on my mom's side.
Latino family.
So we would play school and I was always a teacher because I was one of the older cousins. But we did real school. Like my aunts and uncles, my parents would like buy out of adoption textbooks. Like at, I remember Kmart had them. I'd have all these workbooks. And then I developed my own things for my cousins. And we did real work. And they would cry. They would get upset because I'd tell them, especially in the summer, no, we're not going to go play basketball until everybody does their assignments. No one's going to play Nintendo. And they'd go crying to grandparents or parents and uncles, aunts, and they'd send them back because they felt like I was teaching their children. And but I loved grading papers. And my mom would tell my grandparents and aunts and uncles, I sure hope Matthew never becomes a teacher because he loves that red pen and loves making big X's.
Oh.
Well, I became a teacher.
A teacher.
But it started at a very young age. And I remember like I would change one of the back rooms at my grandmother's and turn it into a classroom. And I'd have like 8 or 10 kids in my class. And I really thought I was a real teacher.
Yes.
And I would create all of these assignments depending on age from 2, 3 all the way to 8. And I was differentiating as a third grader. But that I had a strong passion for teaching at an early age. And I knew at an early age that I wanted to become a superintendent. In fact, when my grandmother passed away, who was my absolute rock, huge supporter of mine, she passed away in 2017. There was a box of things she kept of mine. And in one of them, I had written an autobiography in middle school. And I had written out my plans and it said I was going to become a superintendent. I will be a superintendent, but I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a principal. I mapped it out. And I had completely forgotten. And it all started as a kid and with family members investing in that. So
I love that.
I will never live that down. In fact, my cousin shared a post from one of the Austin news outlets where I was announced as superintendent, and she expressed how proud she was. But then she brought up
the
how I
pen?
Would torture them with schoolwork.
Oh, I love that. That's
and I
great.
Even have a picture on my phone that I saved where I got my brother, younger brother, so he's not in the picture, to take a class picture with my camera. So I stood at the end with all my cousins and took a class picture. I mean, it was like, I really thought that I was a real teacher.
That's so awesome. Well, Dr. Matthew Gutierrez, thank you so much for doing this. This has been a delight. I really love the story.
Thank you.
And I really do, like, man, wishing you well with this new start, this new journey. It's going to be so exciting. And I hope to have you on again in the future. And I'd love to hear how that strategic plan is going a couple, you know, down the road. So thank you. Look forward to it. Yes.
Been a pleasure.
All right, cool. So that's wrapping up the episode. If you'd like to learn more about Abre and how we can support strategic plans, you can visit abre.com. And we're happy to have a conversation about how we're helping superintendents and boards and really district leadership and communities capture that data, bring it in, and really help with the work that might have to go on for supporting the objectives of a strategic plan. So looking forward and cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.